This is the player I'm going to get mad at you guys about, just so, you know, steel yourself.
Failure.
You take it very personally.
You shame me, guys. You shame me.
Uh-oh.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
So I'm just going with my heart over my head, because my head is stupid anyway.
Prepare for total domination.
Oh, that's just dumb, though.
I've never been proven more wrong in my life so quickly and so dramatically. Recording September 26th, 2002. You are listening to this on September 28th, 2022. It is the sixth podcast of the year, our season closing, season remembering episode. Joining me, as always, Becky Robococo, MJ Tolliver, opinionated underscore MJ on Twitter, and we're going to talk a little bit about our favorite things and other things about the 2022 season. So, and then we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the pod somewhat, the things that we did well, the things that we could improve, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a little talk about like current plans going forward in terms of this off season. We will hopefully, you know, assuming no drastic changes in opinion or temperament, be back for you guys definitely next season, and we'll kind of think about what we want to do in the off season and how often we want to do it. We will be like the Gorilla Podcast. You will never know when it's coming, but we'll try and give you a heads up when it's actually coming. So anyway, a couple of little news notes and wrap ups since the last time we potted. There was a Las Vegas Aces championship parade. It was, as the kids say, very, very lit. Marijuana smoking was going on, not by me, a lot of drinking, especially by the players. I think practically everyone was drunk, and it was really, really funny to try and hear them make speeches and whatnot. Even Becky was drunk, and she started the cursing, and it just basically didn't stop until it was all over. I don't know if any of you guys caught it. I heard it was on NBA TV. I had no idea. I didn't watch any replay of that or how it looked from the outside. I was sitting there. I was a little tipsy going in. Had my customary two bottles of soju prior pre-gaming with a couple of friends, and then just let it slowly wear off while I stood around in 96 degree heat, my feet getting very, very sore. There were a couple of people collapsed around me. It was a very, very hot day, so not everybody was prepared for that. But other than that, it was great. It was fun. Haven't been to one of these since like 2007, and that was for my favorite NHL team. So I had an enjoyable time. Did you guys catch any bit of this or no?
I caught Asia having one of the clips that I thought was maybe the face of the actual parade.
The spraying the bottle and dancing around. Yeah, that was iconic.
It was the perfect rhythm and everything. So yeah, and it's crazy how the bottle just really went off as she was moving, because usually people have a hard time with that. Yeah. That's pretty much, I mean, I've seen that in a few little just celebrations while they were, you know, riding through, but yeah. I was at work, so I didn't really see, you know, the entire parade, but I did see that because it was all over social media.
Yeah, they got some good pictures of that. They also did like this thing where they celebrated. They like played the end of the game so you could kind of celebrate at home, since it happened on the road. We could celebrate at home type of thing. It kind of worked, and they shot off, you know, a bunch of confetti and all a bunch of other things, and everybody cheered, and it was really cool. And that led to more neat pictures. So I don't know. Becky, did you see any of it or not?
I only saw some of the like highlight reels.
Okay.
Like, there was that rap that someone put out.
Yeah. We got our own little championship theme song. That's pretty cool.
That was
great. Enjoyed that. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That's my ringtone right now. It's going to be my ringtone for probably the next 6 months or so.
That's amazing.
Cool. I don't know how many WNBA teams have gotten their championship theme song. I'm assuming we're not the only one, but it is like a very, very cool and unexpected thing to have. And so I'm very, very happy for that. Yeah, here at Shea Snap, a lot has changed. We put up I'll take some pictures of it later, but there's a lot of mementos from local newspapers and magazines and stuff. The city really did show out in terms of broadcasting this and publicizing it and giving me a lot of crap to collect that I could throw up on my wall. And I'll try and get some pictures of that and post it later. It was great. Yeah. New ringtone, new desktop wallpaper, also all that good stuff. All right, moving on. A couple of the other thing that happened this week that is in women's basketball that's getting a lot of notice is the FIBA Women's World Cup. We just talked about this a little bit before the podcast, but I guess we can break it down. I only saw game one, the first game against Belgium. I really want to see the China game since that was apparently very good. And then, of course, the big, probably the news that got the biggest traction is the USA scoring 145 points against poor beleaguered South Korea. Ouch for them, but that is a really, really impressive and monumental achievement to do that in a 40-minute game is really incredible. Let's get your thoughts on it. Becky, let's start with you. I guess you saw Belgium and you saw China.
Yeah, the game I watched most of was the game against China. I watched a little bit against Korea before it kind of got out of hand and it was late anyway. Why am I even staying up for this? If you haven't watched the game against China, I thought it was very fun. Of course, there are two WNBA players on the Chinese team, Han Shu and Liu Ru. And also, I think they were describing her as the captain of the team, or like she's definitely the point guard, Li Meng.
Yeah, she's there's been some nice stuff written about her as well.
I was like, how do I join this fan club? I'm into it. So that was fun. I will say, I don't know if you guys have noticed, when you watch the games, the in-arena music. It is like the songs you hear at WNBA games now are pretty standard. Like you hear kind of the same songs, like every arena seems to have kind of a similar playlist.
Yeah.
They're playing Kiss Me by Sixpence from the Richer in arena at a basketball game. At the Korea game, and it was like cracking me up. Like this is not a basketball vibe at all, but it was still good.
Right. There was something that in the Belgium game that caught my attention. Now I don't remember what it was, but there was a song that got played that I was like, huh? Okay.
Yeah, so now I'm like listening for their playlist.
need a Spotify playlist of the FIBA Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course the other thing that has been for the viewing experience has been the variable pronunciations of players' names. That first game, they spelled Messemann, which some Euro players spell it Messemann. I'm not really sure how Emma prefers it. In interviews, she has responded to Messemann just fine. If she's just like, yeah, okay, sure, American announcers, we'll go with that or whatever. But they spelled it like 20 different ways, or pronounced it rather 20 different ways. Messemann, hey, it's Messi. They call it Messi, and then like the next sentence, Messemann. So there were mon, men, mes, eh, mes, e, mise, mise, mise. Oh, it was so aggravating. But I guess this is nothing new, and they do this all the damn time.
Yeah. They really, also really seem to be convinced that Chelsea Gray was in the 3x3 in the Olympics.
Oh, there you go. They're
which
swell.
Is Alicia Gray, but I've heard them say it multiple times in different games that like Chelsea Gray, fresh off her Olympic gold,
three by three.
Like, no, absolutely not.
That's not true.
Failure.
Exactly.
What about you, MJ? Have you picked up anything from the Women's World Cup?
I only seen a game and a half. All the rest, I was like sleep.
That's fine.
I seen all of the fourth quarter of the China game and like the last 3 minutes of the third quarter. And all I heard waking up was Han Shu. And I'm just like, huh?
Yeah. It's a good reason to wake up.
Yeah. And she was giving them the business. So I just, that's pretty much all I seen. I don't really have too much that I can elaborate on.
I miss Han Shu already. I definitely have to go back and watch that game. All right. So moving on, let's talk a little bit about the season that was. Han Shu and all. And we got a couple of topics that we want to go over, which we'll kind of just go through one at a time a little bit. And let's start with favorite moment of the season. And let's start with you, MJ. What was your favorite moment of the 2022 season?
Well, I'm a sound real dull saying this because it's a fan base that might attack me. And it's kind of late in the season, but I was just impressed seeing the Dallas Wings at the end look like a well-oiled machine.
Okay.
Behind Alicia Gray and, without Satu and Enrique. And I just, because, that was my favorite team since they started in Detroit and moved to Tulsa and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, it was impressive to see them since I have such a love-hate relationship with them. And also, you're going to hear a lot of the Liberty from me today. I already started with Hanshu, but the Liberty, considering I kind of threw them under the bus a little bit, somewhat. I think I predicted them to make the playoffs, but I kind of was like, yeah, maybe not, since everybody's hurt and they really didn't make any huge moves.
I think I may have pushed them even further than you did. I know I did not predict them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and and they were just, you know, plagued with injuries and whatnot, and for, you know, Sabrina, and I was saying don't overuse her, but she got used and set some records and really pulled them into the playoffs. You know, I would say that was my just surprise team of the season, as far as just, you know, the regular season is involved. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I have something later on for like postseason.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll do that too. Becky, what was your favorite moment of the season?
I have two moments.
Let's do it.
I don't know why you expect me not to have two. First was Allie Quigley winning the three-point contest for the fourth.
That's very nice, yeah.
Just absolutely dominating in that.
Yeah, she's very good at that thing. She's very, very good at the three-point shooting contest.
I think I've watched like every single fan cam angle, like every angle of like Courtney Vandersloot watching Allie Quigley. I've just like watched the whole thing. We were like jumping up and down in our house watching.
Have you gone back and watched the 2019 one?
I have. We were
the one with, I think that was the one with Kayla, or no, maybe that wasn't, maybe it was 2018. The one where the shootout with Kayla.
Yeah. I think that was, anyway, it doesn't matter which year it was, but I also remember jumping up and down in my house with my girlfriend for that one too. Like it feels personal.
That is like legit exciting. When you're watching it again, you're like, oh my God, this is like, the ending of it is incredible. It's really, really fantastic.
And she had to go three times. It was crazy. Yep. Crazy. Yeah. So I loved that. And then the other one, because I was live for it, was the Courtney Vandersloot buzzer beater against the Lynx.
Yep.
And she just went nuts. And I swear, I've claimed this before. She was like really hyping up the crowd, but it was like right staring, like right in our section, hyping up. And I just like, I felt like I was like there with her, you know, so that's one of the moments I will definitely remember.
Outstanding. Mine is a game. It's an entire game. And it was just, it was not counting the postseason, all the championship stuff, because that's obvious, right? That was the happiest moment of the season, is when they finally won. And of course I was elated, but we've been there, talked about that already. It was the final regular season game against Seattle. That whole game was just tremendous. It was, I went back and thought about it, and I thought, like, has any experience topped that? And there has only been one, and it was the Hamby Heath, that game, because it took place in Thomas and Mack Center, so it was much more filled than we usually got the stadium at that point. It wasn't by any means a sellout, but it was filled. It was super loud. It was the loudest that I had ever experienced a game up to that point for the Aces. And then aside from the end, which was so crazy, it literally broke my brain at the time. It was just like an amazing game, like all around, like all of these exciting plays that took place on both sides. I know, Becky, you'll probably never go back and watch it because of the memory, but just watching it, it was incredible. And then at the end, you're seeing all these things add up. Like there were two, not one, but two Dierica steals with the quarter ending to score a bucket. There was Kelsey's one-legged shot where she almost did an airplane celebration after that, but she wasn't quite her plum dog self, where she was, you know, celebrating vociferously. And I was sitting right across from James Harden, across, you know, the same parallel of the court, and I saw him after she took that shot, he got up on one leg and he was like celebrating along with her. Yeah, it was just a wild game. Like, even before you get to the point where with the steal and the one, and not a half court, but you know, whatever it was, like a slightly under a half court shot that she took with way too much time on the clock. That was incredible. But this game was probably second to that. It was just such a well-played game from beginning to end. Just one of the most well-played women's basketball games I've ever seen, Seattle and the Aces, where by the fourth quarter, I was like, I don't even care who wins. I don't care if we lose this game. It's just been amazing. It's been such an amazing experience. I had three friends in from out of town watching their first WNBA game. That really added to it. And they were just like this is incredible. This is amazing. You go to these games all the time. This is wow. One of them has now become a big Chelsea Gray fan to the point where he's dropping money on jerseys. He's going to check out Mystics games. He lives in Baltimore, so he's going to be checking out Mystics games. Just a tremendous overall experience. I loved it. That was my favorite game of the season that I went to.
You are quite the host.
Yeah, I guess so. I picked the right game for them to go to. There was one last year where I brought a friend for the first time and the Aces were on this incredible winning streak. And then we played Minnesota and played like crap. And we scored like 50 some odd points. And I'm like, yeah, normally we're the highest scoring team in the league. I don't know. I was hoping they was wanted to give you a show and they just completely, they had like one of their worst game up to that point. Anyway, moving on. Next question we've got is the player you're most excited to watch next year. And Becky, let's start with you.
Wait, sorry, say the question again.
A player you're most excited about to watch next year.
I have five.
Oh, wow. Okay, here we go.
I'm sorry. I'll be
Let's go. We'll keep them brief, but we'll definitely talk. Go for it.
I'm very excited to see Amanda Zawi B in the league.
Yes.
Again.
Good choice.
I've missed her and her personality.
Me too.
I'm very excited to see Skylar Diggins-Smith next year. I want to see where she ends up
where she's playing
and how that all works out. She was playing out of her mind this year, so if she keeps playing that way, it's also just gonna be fun to watch. And then two of our six player of the year candidates, Breonna Jones and Han Chu,
yeah,
playing so well. Would love to just see if they're developing further. Who knows if Han Chu will be there next year. There's a lot of international players that don't come over every year. And Breonna Jones, like Skylar, I'm curious, where is she going to be? And if Breonna Jones and another team would be so fun to watch, just to see. It'd be cool to see her as the anchor center of an offense, different than what she's done before. And then the young player I'm excited to watch continue to develop is Shakira Austin, who's been fun to watch in FIBA as well.
Okay. Yeah. Good choices, all of them. How about you, Michael?
I also have Shakira.
Mm-hmm.
Just since that's what Becky left off with. But on my list, I have Ryan Howard.
Okay.
And I have a question. Is Aaliyah Boston eligible after
this? She will be the number one pick this year.
That's who I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah.
Like number one overall. And you guys know my wild card. I get to bring up her name for once.
Lexi Brown.
and only just because, you know, that's one of my favorites.
I just love seeing her every year.
Yeah. Lexi everywhere, especially, you know, how she played in AU. But I just know that the last thing I've heard from her, like she had an interview and she was talking about just chasing like a guaranteed contract. And, you know, I've been following her story for so long and I continue to do so. So I'm just hoping that she gets that guaranteed contract, but I'm just interested in where. And I actually want to throw Breonna Stewart in there, too, because she's a free agent, correct?
That's true. She's unrestricted.
I'm a hold the reason why, because it's for the later segment. So, yeah.
Okay,
so
Breonna, fair enough.
So Breonna Stewart's on that list as well.
All right. Yeah. Good choices, all of them. In fact, you kind of went over some of the ones that I'm definitely looking forward to next year. Definitely looking forward to Ryan Howard to see how she develops. She started with such a base of varied skills and also some, you know, typical rookie, you know, things probably, I don't want to call them problems, whatever it is, like the weaknesses that rookies normally have with turnovers and shooting percentage, things like that. So having her channel, seeing how she channels all of her various abilities that she showed this year to be even better is really enticing. I kind of want to see what kind of player she develops as. My Homer pick is Jackie Young. She's improved every single year and it'll be interesting to see, like she made quite a bit of a leap this year. So it'll be interesting to see how far she goes and in what respects she improves. I would imagine playmaking is her next big hurdle to overcome. Play and hopefully just confidence. There's something to be said about just being willing to take the big shot. We saw flashes of it. The playoffs, she kind of was a little more tentative. But when she was aggressive, usually good things happened. So hoping for that. To Repair, the Aces rookies, the kids, I want to see them develop. Ileana Repair is potentially a really, really good one for us. Just Aisha and Kirsten Bell both getting some more minutes and showing what they can do. Surprised Becky didn't mention this. But Kalia Copper for me is a player that I'm looking to see take her rightful claim as best player on Chicago. I think she has it in her to do that. She has an amazing skill set. She is just, when you watch her play, like the eye test is so far above the numbers at this point that you're wondering why the numbers aren't better. And maybe it was just the late showing up. Maybe it's, there's something about consistency in there that needs to improve or whatever. But if she plays at the top of her game, she is going to definitely be Chicago's best player and an all W candidate all the way. And just as exciting as she is now, that would be really, really fun to see. So
I avoided Sky players because it's a given. I'm excited.
Yeah,
to
yeah, yeah.
Ball, and I didn't want every single answer to Chicago Sky because it could be. So
yeah, it could be, right. Yeah, you want to see him? Yeah, I want to see my team again. Of course, I want to see my team next year. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Makes sense. All right, moving on. Let's go with the biggest surprise of the season, and we will start with you, MJ. What was your biggest surprise of the year?
I have 2.5.
Okay.
So again,
we're getting into fractions here.
Yeah, I got 2.5 because they're attached at the hip. So I just throw both of those out. I got Sabrina Ionescu, just her having high usage and also maintaining healthy season. You know, that was a surprise to me just from where she was trending. Also, Maureen Johannes, like she just came out of nowhere for me. And okay. She makes me think of the dream lineups that they can have. Like if a Breonna Stewart was to go over there, I'm kind of early. That's why I kind of,
is this
like
the
that.
Theme? The I'm theme for early. For this episode for you is Breonna Stewart to the New York Liberty.
I'm pro New York today.
Okay. It's all good.
And yeah, you know, I just love the combination that they are, especially like Hanshu, man. Anyway, I'll get to that later. And just also the eventual rise of the Connecticut Sun. I mean, who expected them, based upon the way they were getting put out the playoffs, to actually get to the finals? You know, even though I know it was a little, you know, murky and they were playing physical and doing all of that crazy stuff. I'm sorry, Becky, but I love you. And yeah, just to see them there. And I was just joking, just like, oh, what if they ended up there? I forgot who I said, the Sun and did I say the Storm or something? I forgot what I said, but it was just that shocked me. So
I slept on them. I totally 100% slept on them. And I think it was just mostly wishful thinking. Like, I do not want to see this team.
Yeah. And I joked about them. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't expect them to get there. So yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Becky? Biggest surprise in case we lost the thread. No worries.
I still love you, Becky.
Love you too, MJ. I agree with actually everything that MJ said were fun surprises this season. I just put the Atlanta Dream.
Yeah.
I know in our preview pod, MJ had hope with the Atlanta Dream. He thought the ceiling was the playoffs and
yes,
right. I mean, they didn't
make I would be more impressed, but he had like hope for everybody, but
that's true.
still good call.
And they were a fun team to watch. And a lot of it, you know, was injuries down the line. It wasn't anything else, but it was a really, really fun turnaround from them. Tanisha Wright stepping in as first year head coach, really, you know, turned
the program. The one successful Aces assistant coach to make good.
Yeah. And then Ryan Howard, I think, you know, people were a little worried about her as the number one pick, like not that she shouldn't be the number one pick, but worried about her immediate impact. And
right. She
had that immediate impact. And then Naz Hillman by the end of the season was like really showing what she can do. And those
I was wrong. Definitely wrong about her. She's got a lot of potential.
When I say girl. People are wrong, I'm politely saying Snap was very wrong about
that. I was very, very wrong.
Yes. And
extremely wrong. Undersized centers, I just don't have a lot of faith in. But yeah, she showed that she is definitely worthy of more attention.
Yeah.
So yeah, mine is very, very simple. And we're not going to go too deep into it because we've talked about it a lot already, is that for the last month and a half of the WNBA season, Chelsea Gray turned into the greatest guard that the WNBA has ever seen. Offensive guard, we'll say. I don't know. But that's just what it is. I went back and I've looked and I haven't seen anybody put up a stretch like that. Definitely not in the playoffs. It just hasn't been that close in terms of usage, true shooting, and then adding 7 assists a game on top of that was bonkers. And she didn't do it just for the playoffs. She did it for the six games prior to it. It was could not miss. So that's weird. I really got used to it too, which is the even crazier, is that it ceased to surprise me after a while. And I would just expect these contested shots to keep going in. It is still weird. I can't explain it. I don't understand how this happened. I'm curious to see if it carries over to next year, or if, you know, we kind of get more of a return to normal. It's bonkers. It's very, very strange. It is one of the weirdest sports things I've ever seen in my life. So that is the biggest surprise to me.
Can I chime in on that part?
Yeah, go for it.
I was upset that she did not take over, because I'm still like used to seeing her heroics. Mm-hmm. And she, like, they were losing the lead to China, and I'm looking like, why are you passing the ball? And I just wanted to throw that in there, because I'm still used to seeing her just take over. You know what I'm saying? And I was kind of frustrated by that.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between like doing it for your team, and then when you're basically on like a huge all-star team, to suddenly be like, yep, it's my time now to do it. I think she's still at heart more of a distributor and more of somebody who wants to get other people involved. So that would be my guess. All right. Moving on. Next up. All right. We'll save the reflections on podcasting for the very end. We've talked the parade. So we're going to do each team summarized in one sentence. The Indiana Fever in one sentence or thought. It doesn't have to be a single sentence, but just you're basically soundbite. When you think of the 22-22 Indiana Fever, what do you think of, MJ?
Wait, we doing past tense?
2022. That's just this past year. That's what we're talking about. Oh, did you miss that?
I did future.
Oh, okay. Well, no, that's fine. Okay, talk about do future. That's cool. No, wait, whatever you got.
This clairvoyant is MJ.
Because kind of did. I'm looking back at my preseason guide and looking at what I thought they were going to be, and was going to reflect on that. But ooh. I can be kind of like past, and then Snap can be present, and then MJ can be future.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
All right. Okay. We're going to start with that.
Okay. Reset.
In the past.
Reset.
All right. We're going to be the podcasters of Christmas, not a post. I don't know.
Past, present,
of current past.
You are.
You guys out there in podcast land are Ebenezer Scrooge, and we're taking you through the 22. This makes no sense whatsoever. Becky's going to talk about past, I'm going to talk about present, and MJ's going to talk about future, since we all read the notes very differently. That's okay. This is how we roll here. Let's do it. All right, Becky, into 2022 Indiana Fever past.
So this is coming from my preseason guide. Indiana Fever deep in their flop era, but Coach Marion Stanley will still yell at you if you assume they're going to lose. We lost the Marion Stanley of it all, but I still think deep in their flop era is probably accurate. What do you think?
Yeah, my one word sentence was promise. It was at least a season that showed some promise, whereas really the past few have not. It's just been desperation times. So it's promise, and then that's for obvious reasons, right? They got some good players in there, some very promising players in Smith and Egbo and Destiny Henderson. My personal favorite, Emily Engsler, who is just such a weird player that I love weird players, so I really, really enjoyed watching her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They now have building blocks for the future. MJ, go into your crystal, look at your crystal ball, man, and tell us 2020, which fever are you going to be discussing? What year are we talking about?
2023 Indiana Fever.
Okay, here we go.
And I just did like a phrase. I did like phrases kind of for mine, but I just have that they will be the young guns that are two seasons away.
Okay.
Unless somehow they magically end up with the Lee of Boston, which they should, shouldn't they? Aren't they the worst team?
I think in terms of record, definitely. So yeah.
Maybe I was wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
One hopes, man. They need some good lottery luck.
Some lottery love. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The 2022 LA Sparks. Hit us with the preseason thoughts, Becky.
One of my things on my guide was Derek Fisher knows what he did. And I think that's about this season.
He finally paid for his unspoken crime.
Yeah.
It was not a banner year for the season of Fish, all things considered. Just like everything he could have done or did really just blew up in the face. All right. My one sentence or thought for the 2022 LA Sparks was mess. It was just a big freaking giant mess. The whole Liz thing did not turn out great. The Kennedy Carter thing did not turn out as well as it could have. NECA was healthy and good. And then beyond that, you know, Brittany Sykes had a good season. Jordan Canada did not necessarily play up to what they hoped she would, I don't think. Katie Lou, decent season. Lexi Brown, you know, beloved Lexi of the sixth podcast.
Lexi.
Love you, Lexi. Just I'm happy for her. She really found a place where she was able to thrive. So that's good for her. It is a giant mess. It is looking for, we're looking forward to, the deck is now clean. I don't know if they'll be able to keep NECA or not, but Christy Tolliver off the books, Shanae off the books, Brittany Sykes is a UFA, so we'll see if she returns or not. Jordan Canada is a UFA. They have now room to kind of maneuver and actually put together a decent team with free agents, but not draftees, because they went and traded that away. So, yeah. I think that is that the one that's going to Washington? Or I know one of them is going to the sky. I think it was Phoenix. Yeah, Phoenix's a draft pick is going to the sky. And then Washington's is a lottery pick from the Sparks is now going again to the Washington Mystics. How about that? Yeah, just big fat mess this year. It nothing turned out exceptionally well, except NECA staying healthy. What you got, MJ? Give us the 2024 LA Sparks.
Is NECA a free agent?
She is unrestricted.
Okay, yeah. So I just have Agul Mackay's staying.
Yeah, and probably.
If not, the Sparks will just be a flash in the pan in 2023.
What do you mean like a flash in the pan?
They will be nothing.
Okay. So nothing's really changed.
Nothing. They will
it's
just
the same pan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Just all like, right. Ooh, this looks interesting. No, it won't pan out.
All right, a 2022 Atlanta Dream. Becky, give us the preseason thoughts.
Okay, so I put, one of my thoughts was, had some big dark energy last year, but have brought a new coach, a new player, so turning a new leaf. And I think.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Got what we wanted.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You thought positively and things turned out positive. It's great. Yeah, I called this, my one thing for this was it was a successful transition year. It is still very much a transition year for them because they have a lot coming off. A lot of unrestricted free agents on this team. Erica Wheeler, Monique Billings, Nia Coffey, Kia Vaughn, or Kia Vaughn is retiring. The only players that are signed that were in the rotation, Cheyenne Parker, Naz Hillman, Christy Wallace, and of course, oh geez, Brian Howard, obviously. And Asia Durr is a reserve player, so they hold her rights. Ari McDonald is signed also for next year. So they still have a lot of the young core, but they need to fill that out. It is going to look very, very different, I think. I don't think Tiffany Hayes is going to be back. Actually, her hoop stats listed her as suspended contract end, which is really something, but I don't think that's confirmed. I think that she worked out her absence from the Dream, so she'll also be an unrestricted free agent. So we shall see how that all pans out. And then what you got? 2023 Atlanta Dream.
I have the Atlanta Dream becoming a reality in 2023.
Oh, that's very clever.
Yes.
So playoffs, you think, right?
Yes.
I definitely see that.
For sure. For sure this time.
Okay. This time for sure. Yeah, they probably we thought they were gonna make it right up till the end. I think it was just a case of they ran injuries. Out of players. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 2022 Minnesota Lynx. Becky, what did you have at the start of the season?
I had your last season to watch superstar plant mom and future mortician Sylvia Fowles.
This is very true.
That's still the kind of positive I could take from this Minnesota Lynx season is Sylvia Fowles still played incredibly.
Yeah, she did. She was fantastic. Ah, I miss her already.
I know.
Like that was a heck of a last season to go out on. It's just a shame that the rest of the team didn't live up to it. Mine was what Cheryl Reeves' money quote was about this year's team. They didn't buy in. That is worrisome. If you're not buying in for Sylvia's last season to the point where you're not going to kill yourself to play defense, that sucks. And something needs to happen there. Well, something is going to happen there. A few players are unrestricted on the way out. Damaris Dantas, Rachel Banham, Bridget is a restricted free agent. Mariah Jefferson is unrestricted. I would think that they would want to have her back, definitely, and that's probably a good place for her. Sylvia is gone, so they're going to get a new center, hopefully somebody on the Breonna Jones level. But if they didn't do it this season, I'm wondering what's going to change to get them to buy in and play next year. Kayla has said that she is not going to miss this season. She was one of those players that plays a lot of overseas and has occasionally shown up late because of that. She says she's not doing that. She will show up on time. So that's good to hear, but it's worrisome to me. They didn't buy in. Are they going to buy in next year, or do you need to make a change, a big change? And you know what I'm talking about. MJ, 2023 Minnesota Lynx.
Ferocious.
Oh, that's right. Fee is back.
Yes, and powerful.
Okay.
That is my prediction for the 2023.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, you are clever today.
Oh, yeah.
A dream becomes a reality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was done on purpose.
My man. This is one of those things for what we're going to look for the future. We're going to unleash Poet MJ because he's on fire. Ferocious and powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Fee is back. Hooray. That is definitely a thing to look forward to because it's very, very strange. But the players who have come back from pregnancy, we have quite a few examples of them having bomb-ass seasons the season after. Dwanna Bonner, tremendous season. I think it was in 2018 was the season that she came back from pregnancy. Skylar was all WNBA coming back and had her best season, no doubt. Candace Parker had a great season coming off of pregnancy. I've looked these up. Fee is going to be an MVP candidate if this all holds true.
Yeah, baby. It's sticking with you already. You was about to say ferocious.
MVP. I'm gonna ride that to the offseason.
Yeah, all right. Maybe it's because they train so hard to kind of, because maybe they think that they're out of their game shape so much that they kind of overwork themselves and become an entire differently version. You know, how you just were saying, like they come back from a pregnancy and they're like all WNBA.
I am not even going to contemplate why that's the case. I just noticed it as a trend. So I thought I'd bring it up.
It will continue.
All right. Speaking of Fee, the Phoenix Mercury. What did we have at the beginning of the season, Becky?
Okay, nice transition.
It's currently makes me very sad whenever I think about this team, and I hope they get better. And they're still working on that.
I'm going to keep this short and sweet. The thought or the sentence for Phoenix Mercury for the 2022 was depressing. I was like, the only good thing was that they fought to make the playoffs, and then they, of course, Skylar did not show up for the playoffs, so that wound up being depressing too. Is they just got absolutely sacked. So I think. I would rather had the Lynx in there, even if they decided not to show. We'd rather had the Dream. The Dream would have been the ideal number eight seed or whatever. But you know, now they're going to get a lottery pick, so no complaints there. But yeah, depressing. Skylar is wonderful, but she missed the last little bit. The Tina Charles, just like, this is not what I signed up for, and leaving your team midseason, that sucks. Of course, the whole Brittany thing is just awful. D at times being the absolute worst player in the league when her shot is not falling is very depressing. It's all very depressing. Let's move on. Forget about let's try and get past 2022 and let's talk about 2023. What you got, MJ?
I just have free BG and
free
and,
BG.
Yeah. And if she's available, then they'll be great. They go as she goes.
Come on.
No punchline for that.
Bring her home. Yeah. Nothing to say there. Yeah. New York Liberty. Talk us through it, Becky. What'd you have for preseason?
None of these things are actually very good predictions. I do have young and or fun as their category, which I think
they were fun. They were fun. Yeah, I had the new 2020 New York Liberty. I think of International House of Pancakes because the Hanshu and Marine Johannes. I'm going to just mispronounce her name, and I'm going to apologize for that. Just wonderful. They were so much fun to watch. I'm happy that Natasha Howard turned out to be good and was not done as she looked or as she was appearing to look over the past couple of years. So that was good. That's awesome. And then of course there's Sabrina just making that leap that we were all expecting Satu to make. Sabrina went and surprised us and made it instead, and she was wonderful. So that's great. They were fun. It was a fun team. I enjoyed them. What about you? 2023 Stew York Liberty.
Hey, you okay? Okay, yeah, yeah. See, I didn't have a punchline. Perfect. See, I done started something here. Let's go. Thank you, Snap.
All right,
but I don't have a punchline.
All right, fair enough.
I was thinking of one, but I was trying to mix in the Statue of Liberty, but that wasn't gonna work. I just have that they're the team with the most interesting prospects. Ah, I'm not talking right.
You have like 10 people joining this team.
Interesting prospects, yes, but they are the most interesting team if they land Breanna Stewart, Stew York Liberty, Breanna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, Maureen Johans, Hanshu. What? Like,
yeah, really? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
could be great, man. She takes one meeting with Josiah and just like sends everybody into a tizzy.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe Stewart Liberty. That would be very interesting. All right, Dallas Wings. What did you have preseason, Becky?
I had the youngest team in the league with a lot of talent, but also a lot of chaos. I feel like less chaotic than last year. A little chaotic. I also wrote GM Greg Bibb is my nemesis, which continues.
get in line. Yeah, he's pretty much everybody's nemesis. He's it's something. I said potential half realized. I had a little more hope for this season for this team than the way things panned out. And they, even though they reached some level of, you know, relative competence for them by the end of the year, I think this should have been a better team. I think this had the potential to be a 4 seed somewhere up there. I know the top 5 that finished ahead of them are all very good teams. It went unrealized, even with players having very, very good career, some even career seasons. I don't think that they played the way that they were capable of. I think part of that was Vicky just not finding the rhythm until late into the year by doing the one very obvious thing that you would have think that would have been done from the outset is starting Tierra McCowan. I don't know why that took so long, why they were constantly farting around with giving everybody more, you know, equal to or more minutes than her at that point. It's like you signed somebody who had a very definitive skill set that was very, very useful to your team, and you waited and waited and waited before you brought her in. Yeah, half realized potential is, I don't know where this team is going from her. If the rumored people who are unhappy are players who are unhappy are going to be finding their way somewhere else or not, we'll see. What you got for the future? 2023 Dallas Wings, MJ.
I can just take a note from you talking about their half realized, and I have them being promising, but missing the other wing required to fly.
Oh, that's good.
Dallas Wing.
Oh, wow. We're going out on a high note, I got to say, for this year. All right. Washington Mystics. What you got? Preseason, Becky.
Elena Deladon is back, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. You nailed it. I don't even like Elena Deladon was back. Look, here's where kind of I wound up with them, though. I thought things went pretty darn well for what you would expect. Like Elena probably played more games than I thought she would. And Alicia Clark got healthy and was generally healthy by the end, as far as we know. Natasha Cloud had a very good year. Shakira Austin turned out to be great. And they were the 5th seed. Do we think that this is there's the potential to be
something?
Yeah, is there the potential to be very something, or are we looking at the season and going, this is it? This is you're the 5th seed. I think I'll look up net rating while MJ discusses the 2023 Washington Mystics. Where do you see this team going?
Okay, so I have a question. Did you guys ever try those Mystics drinks, the soft drinks?
Absolutely not. I've never had, I don't even know what we're talking about, but
okay, so,
but go on.
So the joke won't land, so let me just say, right. Yeah, I'll write off what Becky said, and with EDD back and them having enough talent around her, especially with Shakira Austin, and then the Sparks were they flirting with the playoffs, like
I think I was the one who realized that they really, really sucked and they weren't going to make it,
so. Yeah, so with that pick going to them, that makes them even more of a problem going into next season, especially with Shakira Austin being playing for Team USA right now. Like the amount of experience that she's going to get just playing with them and then also playing abroad, because, you know, there are differences in like the rules and the FIBA rules that I think help players just improve. They see the game totally different. They approach the game. And then I think playing overseas and then coming here for some players makes it easier, especially in the position that she's in. So she's kind of in that sweet spot where it's like, well, we might hold EDD back a little bit just to keep her, you know, fresh for the playoffs. So go off. So I think the Mystics can be really magical if that applies.
Yeah, I think they just hit the wrong, and maybe it's affecting my opinion of how this season went for them. First, it was the fifth seed though, and that's that you wind up with that bad, really bad matchup. You're gonna be playing on the road against a team. There are five good teams and you're the fifth seed. You're going to be playing against a team that's good. Seattle was really, really good by the end of the year. And it just, that was what kind of really hurt the Washington the most. But I don't know. You're right. There's a lot of reason for optimism there in terms of Shakira improving and getting yet another lottery pick out of the deal. The 2022 Seattle Storm. What you got, Becky?
I mean, Sue Bird is taking her victory lap. I think that is I don't know. That's how I'm going to remember the season.
Okay.
Seattle Storm.
It's fair. Yeah. It's a big part of the coverage of it for certain. For Seattle, I said the core was showing some cracks. The biggest one was Jewel Lloyd. And the other thing was they didn't have that other wing that was making shots for them all year, and that was what really hampered the offense the most. Is Gabby, I think, played about as well as you could expect Gabby to. She was wonderful on defense, and she found a offensive role within the team that did not necessarily involve spacing the floor for them. So I'm not trying to drag her or anything, but having two wings that were really struggling with scoring at different times and at different points on the floor, I think really hampered it. And Stewie had to revert and be heroic and have some of her highest usage ever to make up for that. And the fact that she was able to do it as well as she did is just more proof positive that she is amazing. But yeah, it's just the core has shown some cracks, and we're going to kind of have to see how that resolves itself. Who is now going to be playing point guard? That Sue is gone. The future is uncertain, but not here on the sixth podcast of the year, because we have Nostradamus, MJ Tolliver, 2023 Seattle Storm. What are we looking at?
Well, it's kind of up in the air, but I'm just
like all storms.
My question, yeah. There we go. Another punchline. I was gonna say with Sue Bird flying south, but I didn't want that to sound offensive.
She's off to Mexico, baby.
You know, that's kind of
Cabo,
like
San Lucas.
Yeah, off and riding into her retirement. That was gonna be a punchline, but I'm just asking a question more so about the Storm, with them having so many questions going into the offseason. And the question is, will it rain or will they rain again?
Will the rain continue? Yeah.
Will the rain continue or will the rain continue?
I think at some point it's basically going to be MJ and I just making a bunch of like wrestling promos.
People are going to be like, what the rain?
What is going on? What did this podcast turn into? Listen, brother. All right. 2022 Chicago Sky. Tell us what you got, Becky.
I have reigning champions planning to run it back.
Oh, okay. Well,
I was correct about their plans. So, yeah.
I said great year that will go unappreciated, because it really was. I think they had a tremendous year and they were tremendously fun to watch. And these things happen in the playoffs. It just, you hit the cold streak at the wrong time, and that's what can happen. That's the way it was. I think it was a really good team. I think the really good team just hit the wrong opponent at the wrong time. Then suddenly people are thinking of it as a disappointment. I don't think this team is disappointing. I thought this team was really, really good. 2023 Chicago Sky, MJ.
I feel like if everybody returns, mm-hmm. or Candace, let's just get that out the way, then the sky is the limit.
Hey, there
plain
you go.
Plain and simple. Plain and simple.
Fair enough. I actually went out of order here because I was looking at net rating instead of the actual standings, but that's my fault. But all right, we're going to move on. 2022 Connecticut Sun.
I wrote in a deep, always the bridesmaid, never the bride face.
Nice. Becky has joined us.
Becky has joined the ranks of Nostradamus. She is the ghost of Nostradamus past.
Let's go.
Yeah, a great season that will go underappreciated. Again, they were really good, and I think it was mostly a function of they lost Jasmine Thomas. Despite that, they wound up with the best net rating in the league. You gotta give them some props for their ability to play with such an unbalanced team and still play really, really well. I think people get too caught up on if you didn't win the championship then the season sucked, and I don't really believe that. I don't think there's any particular reason that the Connecticut Sun are always bridesmaids and never the brides, except they just keep running into teams that are having monstrously good years at the or good runs at the time that they run into them. I think that's happened the three years that they've had relative success. The 2019 Mystics were the greatest offense of all time, and they took them to five games, and they almost won that fifth game, and nobody is going to remember that. But that's how good they were. And then it was the same thing with the sky. The sky clicked at the right time. And unfortunately, the way that they clicked and the way the style that their team was just the absolute wrong matchup. And you can blame Kurt, I think, because he brought Alyssa Thomas back too soon and kind of futzed up the chemistry there. And then they ran into the Aces, and the Aces had Chelsea Grays, who is reincarnation of nobody, because nobody has ever played like that. Jesus. In the playoffs. Yeah, right. They ran into somebody who all of a sudden had the best WNBA guard, playoff guard for one postseason. And what can you do? It sucked. Great season, underappreciated.
What did Larry Bird say about MJ?
That's
with gym shoes.
Something like that.
So Chelsea Gray was Jesus. With Jim
Jesus, that's good. I like that. Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, 2023. Sun, tell us, MJ.
They will rise again.
Okay. The sun will come out tomorrow.
Yes. It will rise again.
That was for all you Annie fans out there. Sun will come up tomorrow. All right. 2022 Las Vegas Aces. What do you got, Becky?
So happy.
I'm very, very happy.
That's good.
I wrote preseason that they have been at the top of the league for the last few years, but didn't quite make it, but they are ready to finally get their first chip.
Bextradamus strikes again. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Hey.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to remember. Champions, baby. They're champions. Like, there's a lot more in depth to remember, like how they lost to 30 by the Minnesota Lynx at one point. Everybody's going to forget about that, and how they look like the defense. Just look like utter crap, but it was playing possum. That's the only thing I could think of, is that they're just like, we're not going to spend our energy right now, and we will wait, and we will spend it at the right time. And by the playoffs, they were a really good defensive team. So yeah, I was wrong. Becky was right. She's the queen. Good for her. Both Beckys, incidentally. I'm talking Robococo and Becky Hammon. And that's what I remember. Champions. It's just magical year. 2023 Las Vegas Aces. Tell us, MJ.
Do the Queens have another parade on the way?
We will find out. I'm still enjoying this one, so I'm not going to worry too much about it.
Punchline didn't.
Yeah. Hit. All I know is the 2024 Dierica Hamby is going to be amazing.
Uh-oh. Cue the entrance music.
She's already one of the fastest players in the league, boy. She's going to be incredible. Second kid, child number two coming out.
Yeah, she was key to their run too. So.
Yes, yeah, even like in limited minutes. I'm very, very. I guess just part of me is really curious about like how far along she is, because I don't think that has been stated yet, and if that played any part in her minutes going down at the time that they did. It's just me being curious, but it's really none of my business. So that's fine. We'll move on. All right, and then funniest moment of the season. This one is easy for me. It's tragically funny. It was funny, but it was also kind of sad in a way. It shouldn't have happened. but I don't care. It was so goddamn absurd that I can't think of it as anything other than really, really funny. And that was Courtney Williams diming on herself by showing video that did not somehow get out at any other point. It is the Tenders and Bites video with the big fight at the beginning. I shouldn't laugh at it, but I do, because it's just so freaking absurd. And I watched the video that she showed and she was so proud of it. Like, boy, this is a wild story. Let me tell you about it. That kind of thing. Just her whole attitude toward it. She has done everything right, I think, since that point, and admitted her mistake, and, you know, she knows what she needs to do, and et cetera, et cetera. I feel bad for Crystal Bradford, who wound up also bearing the taint of that, but also she should have come forward after it happened. Just the whole thing was completely absurd. Not only that it happened was kind of sucked, but the fact that they hit it and then announced it like, this is a funny story, let me tell you about it. Just totally absurd. I'm sorry. I find it really, really hilarious. Maybe I shouldn't, but that's just my sense of humor. Becky, what was your funniest moment of the season?
Oh, I do have three.
Okay.
One, just quickly, the All-Star game, how all of the aces were on one team and Jackie Young was on the other. And they were
that was great.
Bullying Jackie and refused to let her get the ball or score was hilarious. And just really fun to watch. I really enjoyed it. The second from our podcast, I still laugh every time I think about MJ creating his Dallas Wings roster and the 16 players on it. And just like every time we have to cut a player, like a new player would arrive on the roster, I just like still think about it.
The 2023 Liberty are the 2022 Wings in that regard.
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
And every time I see Jasmine Dickey, I think of Jay. I'm like, he believed
in you, Jasmine.
Yes, I did.
And then the last one was watching Diana Taurasi get ejected on one play, right, like, you know, 30 feet in front of me.
That is always fun.
Very, very, very hard that.
Good times.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of the ejections that you have provided us, Diana. Yeah. Yeah, I think the funniest in-game thing is always DaWanna Bonner reacting, like just absolutely throwing a conniption fit every time anything potentially goes against her. Even sometimes when things don't go against her, she's still like, I can't believe you got that call right. Just, I don't know. MJ, funniest moment.
That's really all mine is. Mine's is boring, but mine is just Candace in game reactions.
Candace's in game reactions. I love her in game reactions.
She became the face of, like, they made a meme out of her facial reactions based off of her actions from last season as well. But going into this season, they were marketing NBA 2K22 with an actual meme from her. Then. She was doing stuff over the course of the season or leading up to the WNBA season, covering the men's game, where she would say certain stuff to Shaq. I would say it's just Candace Parker, period. Like her standing up for the women's game, her actually, and this is kind of personal to me, but she was like shouting out the Detroit Pistons and just her facial expressions and the things she would say to Shaq and D-Wade. And she's just funny. Just on the floor, off the floor, in video game pictures, memes, all of that. Like, I go on YouTube looking at some stuff, and it's like something, a WNBA player versus a stranger off the street, something like that. And it's just a picture of Candace just looking like. And I just think she's hilarious.
Yeah, agree, totally. And she's very she's self-conscious about it, too, because I think I mentioned my favorite Candace moment was her playing up her reaction to the crowd after she was complaining, and then she kind of exaggerated a bit just for the people because we were kind of all laughing a little bit at the face she was already making, and then she went all in and did it even more, and I was like, that's wonderful. What a performer.
She does that every game. It's so hilarious because on TV you just see the initial reaction, and then to the crowd she's like going even harder.
Yep.
That was one game they didn't catch it on TV because I wrote it down. I'm like, I want to clip this moment where she went back to the other side of the court and like flopped the way the same person flopped, like did a like over the top flop because she was so annoyed about whatever team was flopping. Like, she is hilarious on the court.
Yeah, tremendous. We love you, Candace. Thank yes, you for her, for all of the beams.
No, don't send her off. She's coming back. She's coming back.
No. I'm not sending her off. I'm just praising her. I'm praising her while she's still here. We thank you for all of the memes and the demonstrative thing. And she is also, I remember initially, she was in the second game I ever saw of live game. And she is instantly a player that immediately like jumped out. I knew who she was, but even just like watching her, it's like you could not escape that she was a star. Just the way that she moved and the way that she carried herself and all of that. It's just, you have that aura about you when you play, and it's there. She's got it.
And she gave me some of my funnest games to watch. Her and mm-hmm. Maya Moore.
Yep.
Going back and forth.
Yeah. That was like, Maya's was another like, one. I only got to see like one game, live game with her, but man, I felt the same way.
I wish those games remind me of like the Aces and Seattle Storm series. That's what yep. the Storm in Aces series felt like to me. It felt like the watching Minnesota versus LA all over.
Yeah, again. Yeah. All right. Okay. Moving on to our final topic here that is going to carry us out for a little bit, a reflection on podcasting in the first season. What did we do right? And what do we want to do differently next season? I think it's going to be very, very interesting. But let me start with the person who I think is definitely the one who is most responsible for our success, and that she handles the editing, and she has handled all of the various cool little promos and previews and whatnot. Definitely does the most work. The beating heart of this podcast, which yes. is Becky Robococo. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Aww. Thank you, Becky.
Podcasting with me.
This doesn't move without you.
Call me the person who does the most work, because snap, you get us in line and get us like actually having a topic and where we're
like id ego super ego, but I'm not sure which one is which and what they all do. So it's that's how we all work.
In terms of things that went right, I think like I just like that we didn't know each other before we started this podcast. And yep. so that's always a scary endeavor. Like, I mm-hmm. think I followed you, Snap, on Twitter, but that's about it. And it's really great how much we get along, and I think our dynamic is really fun. And I appreciate that we all have very different perspectives on the game. And I think it makes it work really well. Like, Snap, you're more like statistical, analytical voice. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little more of our fan. Like goofy stuff voice, and MJ has like the historical perspective and like the reverence for the game, and all three of us together, I think we all bring just a little different take on mm-hmm. the season. So I really loved that part. I also, my one little thing I'm proud of is I do like our little podcast intro.
Yes.
That I curated our dumb little comments throughout.
Nice.
Yes, me too. And what do you want to do differently next season, Becky?
Well, one thing is we have this concept that we have the main podcast and the emptying the bench segment. And I don't mm-hmm. think we've done a great job of segmenting those. And a big
nope.
part is I have not done anything about that in editing for weeks and weeks. Like I had these like sounds I was going to do for like the emptying mm-hmm. the bench where MJ sang us into it. And I have not step that out. And so I think we're supposed to have a two-part podcast, and as things went on, it was kind of just, well, we have our main thing we need to talk about, and maybe we'll talk about a second thing after that. Mm-hmm. And kind of related to that is I'm not sure if I will do better on this, but my editing effort really slowly went down over this season.
Yeah,
just in terms of the amount of time I could devote to it.
That was a running theme with me too. As things went along, I got so busy with other things, and I think that the pre-prep work that I did, that I used to do, started out doing at the beginning of the season, just kind of went away. So the differently for me is getting that stuff done as early as possible, so I don't have to think about it. That's how I usually approach most tasks in my life. Just get it done. It's there. It's ready. I don't have to think about it. I'll talk about that a little bit more when we come around to me. But I agree with you. And that's not just you. It's just as the season goes on, there's like more and more to think about. And of course, there's real life just also hammering at you as you're doing things from week to week. So, but yeah, more pre-prep work, get it done sooner. Then it's nice and organized, and the podcast is more structured. We can keep that two-part thing, if that's what we're going to do, or, you know, we'll talk about it and see what we want to do. What could be more fun that we can do? Sorry, go on.
That's all I had.
Okay, how about you, MJ? What do you think we did right, and what do you think we should do? What do you want to do differently next season?
Well, I think I might have been the lone holdover from like the turnaround that they were mentioning just what, mm-hmm. like a week ago or something like that, and just being open to whatever. And then Drew's like, "You want to do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then, you know, just me being open to the idea of doing mm-hmm. that, because I just like podcasting. And then to meet you guys, and you guys like basically been pulling me up to speed in the game, because I have had probably 2 or 3 spotty moments, like especially mm-hmm. since Maya retired, like mm-hmm. where I just check in on the WNBA, then I like fall back, and I check in again, then I just like fall back. You know, mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of the bubble, but then I fell back. And then, you know, pulling you guys in and putting us all together was just like the Play-Doh that worked. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have anything negative to say about us. I like what we do. I mean, maybe we can add like just, I don't know. For some reason, I've been wanting to have a soundboard just for myself for years. And we can just make it more like engaging, even though we've been doing that. Like we've done it naturally with the way our chemistry has developed.
Yeah.
Just like today, like who knew that we were going to just naturally come up with past, present, and future. It's just like, it just yep. flows, you know?
Yes. So,
but just something like that. And I know we were, you know, under the impression that we were needing guests like that, like the big mm-hmm. name guests. I like the way we've gone about it, where we're trying to build.
Well, we'll do it when we're ready is basically yeah. what it comes down to. And next year we yeah. might be ready for something like that. So we'll
right,
see.
But I just feel like we need to have a really good, solid, organic number before we go there mm-hmm. instead of being the flash in the pan, like the LA Sparks. And, you know, so, I mean, that's really all I have. I think every, you know, and I appreciate you guys. Let me mm-hmm. put that out there too, because I take my notes. I watch my film. I watch my games, and I bring my voice. You guys do all the like prep work that gets us, me and Becky, in line. And Becky just is like, she's talking about, I'm a historian in reverence. I think you got actually definitely more recent history than me. And I revere you in that regard. So
oh, well,
right
thank
back
you.
At you. I'm talking about Becky.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, no,
you too, I'm thinking you on behalf of her.
Yeah. I mean, you know your stuff too, Snapback. Like, you know, you pull up the analytics and everything, and you give me aim when I'm attacking. So I don't know. You guys just make me better. And just this experience, period, makes me better. So I'm definitely looking forward.
Well, that's very cool. That's very cool to hear. In terms of myself, the one thing that I was really, really wasn't sure was going to happen, but we did a great job of it, is we showed up every single week, except for one. I had 100-degree fever. So I'm giving myself a pass on that one.
And I missed a week too. Don't forget about
me. You did miss a week. That's fine. Yeah, but we still had the podcast. The only podcast date that we missed was when I was super duper sick, and we would have ran it anyway, but Kayla was showing up for the first time and we wanted us to all be there for that. Tremendous job. We did it. We got it done on time. The obvious things, the things that we've I think we've really done well is it kind of turned out, it just kind of turned out the way that it did. But between podcasts, we don't like chat a whole lot other than doing some, you know, basic, like, here's what's up for next week. Everybody cool with this? Yay. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Let's add this. Let's do that. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, we need to make this shorter, that kind of thing, which very rare, but it's just like technical cleanup stuff, that type of thing. We don't talk about the league in between podcasts. And I think that's turned out to be a good thing, because it keeps the conversation really, really fresh. By the time that the podcast rolls around, I'm like, oh, we haven't talked about this. I haven't talked to anybody about this. Oh, this is great. And I think that that dynamic really, really works. The chemistry, you can't manufacture that. We had it right from the jump. I think that we all get along really great. I think we all bring something new, as everybody has said. We all have like varying, you know, senses of humor, and we all understand each other's sense of humor, which thank you guys, because not everybody understands my sense of humor. So thank you very much for that. And then, yeah, and just the enthusiasm for this league, that we all love it. None of us are trying to, you know, like turn it into a you know, trying to be something more than just somebody who loves the league and really, really wants to talk about that. And, you know, if it happens and this gains steam and people want to sign up for it, great. That's wonderful. I don't anticipate that the soul of this is us really enjoying this game, really enjoying these athletes and wanting to talk about them and wanting to celebrate them and doing it in an intelligent way and not having to be cheerleaders and fawning and do everything to promote the league. We talk about the things that we think are wrong, and we talk about the reasons why teams lose and this, why they're struggling. And that, you know, it's a balanced look. We still love all these players. We want them to succeed. So you don't have to pander to still have that perspective. And I think that is great. Like I said, the thing that we want to do differently next season, for me, it's more preparation, getting things in line that we're talking about. I did this at the start of the season and I slacked off and fell off of it. I'm not going to do that next year. Is articles, things that pop up. We're going to have them on our good old Google Doc, our trusty Google Doc, there for people to read and talk about. If something sparks conversation, we can talk about it, that kind of thing. We're going to have a bunch of that. We're going to have links to all of the good stuff, the Her Hoop stats, the basketball references or stat head page or whatever it's called now. That thing, interesting little tidbits flowing. I have a ton of ideas that come into my head. I should have been dropping them in there as they came into my head, just like, oh, interesting little statistical nugget. Here's this. Let's pop it in there. And maybe it reminds somebody of something that they want to talk about. That will be open and it will be for everybody to contribute to. But it's just something that I should have been doing more with as the season came on. And then beyond that, you know, it's basically what, you know, finding since we've gotten through a season, we've done it, we've shown that we can put this together and make it a thing and handle it well, whatever we get the ambition to do next. If it's more interviews, if it's more features on specific things, I'd like us to pursue that just to throw our abilities at it and see how good it is, just for our own level of ambition to push ourselves a little bit into some areas that, you know, and
it may be discomfort.
Yeah, right. A little out of our comfort zone, just a bit. I'm not gonna make this, you know, super duper work that it doesn't need to be. I have learned to do top 25 lists in more than one part. That's for frickin' sure. That kind of thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for that, guys. I'm so sorry for all the listeners out there who had to sit there with a 3-hour podcast. My bad.
That is the one where I did put the hammer down. Yeah,
but that's
unedited. Yeah, that shit. Like, I can't.
Becky was like, "I'm not doing that again."
See, but that was more like it was like a top 75.
No, it was not. It was just a top 25
because it was coming from three perspectives, though.
Yeah, too. But we only did the top 25. But we'll do that in two parts. I learned my lesson there. It'll be fine. Okay. But yeah, like features, things that we do. Like I did like at least the ambition of that project. I just messed it up by trying to get it done in one episode because I didn't know any better. But yeah, I like that.
Let them reference back to it because they're going to need something during the off season that's lengthy because there's not, I don't think there's a show out here like ours anyway. Yep. Not to, you know, to have like, what's the word? I don't know, to be braggy, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's ours is like colorful, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's very personality driven and I like that and I want to keep it that way. I think that is generally the appeal of the show is we're friends, we talk about the WNBA and we really love and enjoy talking about the WNBA. We do it in an intelligent manner. Right. So, and that's great. So yeah, just push it, try some more features. Maybe we do interviews, get comfortable doing some interviews. We do it. I thought we did a great job with Kayla, even though, you know, we know Kayla, but I think that also our ability to think on the fly and come up with stuff the way that we have and have it make sense is also a thing that I think allows us to push ourselves some more because I think we'll do a good job of it. We do it. And that's where I see this going. Just my perspective on it. We're going to, you know, take some time this off season, let the college season start up and we'll chat during the off season, find big basketball moments when they happen and think about, hey, can we form a podcast around this? And then we'll announce a podcast if that's the case and tell you that one is coming. But we did, everybody, you guys, great job. MJ, Becky, wonderful job this season. We all have earned a lot of rest, but I appreciate everybody showing up and just being able to get through this and do it. I'm really, really proud of this podcast. I think it turned out great. For those of you who have tagged along and listened to every episode, thank you so much. It's wonderful. I would love to hear from you and love to hear about maybe the things that you would like to hear about the podcast. Let us know.
Interruption time. Nope. Before you close. Nope. Yep, nope, go ahead. Nope.
No. We're not done. I'm just going to sign off. What you got?
Oh, I was going to say, what are like Becky has a site and what are you doing? Like both of you guys put that out there.
Oh, I don't have any personal stuff. I don't anticipate any personal stuff outside of this podcast that no is feature. Basketball related. Nah.
Okay, Becky, what's going on with the, what's your site? That's not around a W.
Download it's database?
The, yeah. Yes. It's the download with RoboCoco. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At RoboCoco.com. I do have a database. It has not been updated recently because turns out I have less time than I did when I was quarantining and not leaving my house ever. But there are like, profiles on maybe 75% of the players in the league in there, nice. Which are more, you know, up to date within the last year or so.
Yeah, and that's something they can reference.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to, and I think we might do some of that on this pod. I've gotten more into college women's basketball. Last year, I dedicated more time to it. This year, I got a free ESPN Plus subscription. So that's going to be a DePaul women's basketball season ticket holder. So maybe there'll be some college basketball content. We'll see.
Yeah.
Last year I did do a players to watch in the NCAA tournament, and all five of my players to watch immediately lost their first game, and then I gave up because I was like, I don't want to curse any more players, but we might see more of that next coming up next season.
Yeah, I'm going to be following the women's college basketball to a greater extent than I ever have before in my life, mostly for WNBA prospects, but also for the benefit of this podcast, because I would like to know what I'm talking about when we do start up again. And if we're going into next year, we're talking about rookies and stuff, and like, hey, it'd be great to have seen some of them actually play and not just like highlight packages and little snippets here and there. So yeah, we're definitely going to come back with a lot more knowledge than we had before with our ESPN Plus subscriptions.
Right. Nice. And shout out to Disney.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Disney. Thank you. If you want to sponsor us, you know, just drop a line. I would also like to thank the W Lead for hosting our stuff on their channel. It definitely got us way more attention than we otherwise would have happened. The lead into promoting the podcast was really, really great. Kayla, of course, our two-time guest and big, big friend and fan of the pod who listens every time out. She is wonderful. We're happy to have her on. We know we'll have her on again. So yeah, as a whole, the people at the W Lead have been like all-time big supportive for us, and we'd like to thank them very much. And you should listen to their NBA stuff, because they do good NBA stuff if you like about the men's NBA.
Yes.
So there's that. We shall return. Don't know when yet, but we will. And that's basically it. Thank you guys for tagging along. It's been a wonderful season. I'm really, really proud of what we've done, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed making it. That's it. Yeah. We will announce our upcoming episodes during the off season, and we will be well before the 2023 WNBA season starts. We'll be back to a regular thing, because we'll have to do all that nice preview stuff, free agency, all that good stuff. We will be around for it and giving you our thoughts and making more jokes and laughing a lot and having a good time. And that has been it for the 2022 season of the WNBA for the sixth podcast of the year. Offseason coming. We will see you during that. So until then, peace out.
Peace out.
Goodbye.